Chapter 41. Naomi. The Freehold Gate, like all the gates, was stationary with respect to its local sun. That it didn't fall into its distant star was just one of its many mysteries. But since they couldn't hook a chain between it and the Rossi and hang from it, they did not benefit from its gravity-defying properties. Instead, Alex parked the Rossi close to it with the Epstein drive on a gentle burn to balance the pull of the sun. The flight out to the Ring Gate had been eerie. The Rosinante had been her home longer than any place else. She'd slept more of her nights in these crash couches and eaten more of her meals in the galley. She had breathed the air that passed through the ducts and filters more times than she could calculate. Being inside the ship now, she felt the presence of the others, her memories of them. What surprised her most was that it didn't hurt. She'd left the Rossi not long after Amos took his covert assignment to Laconia. Alex was going to join Bobby on the Storm. Naomi, they had all thought, would hire on a temporary crew for the Rosinante and keep her flying. Only she hadn't. At the time, she'd barely been able to explain why. She could still remember some of the rationalizations she'd used. A gunship is harder to hide than one person. And the Rosinante has symbolic value as a prize that ups the risk of using her. And the underground on Freehold will be able to use her if the need for defense arises. They'd all been true, and none of them had. Looking back now, she saw that she'd left because staying would have been worse. She hadn't let herself feel the loss of Jim too deeply, or of Amos, or Clarissa. Bobby had invited her to join the crew of the Storm, but Naomi hadn't accepted, and Bobby hadn't pressed the issue. Now, strapped into the spider-like framework of a salvage mech and burning for the Ring with her two transmitters and the spool of wire, she looked back at the ship, her ship, and it still ached. But it was bearable. She had taken her grief and locked herself away with it because she'd been skinless. It had been the best way she could find at the time to keep every new day from feeling like a little more salt on the wound. But that had been a different version of her. She'd grieved, but more than that, she'd changed. The woman she was now wasn't quite the one she'd been on the day that Jim left, or even on the day she'd chosen not to accept Duarte's invitation. Between the loss of Saba and Bobby's defeat of the Tempest, Naomi had been reborn so quietly she'd hardly even noticed. The only real evidence was that she could be on the Rosinante again. She could come home.
"You're almost there," Alex said. "How's it look?"
"Big," Naomi said. The gate was only 1,000 kilometers across. This close to the surface, it might as well have been half of the universe. This far from the sun, the mech's HUD needed to add some false color augmentation so that she could see more clearly what she was dealing with. She made her braking burn. She only had a little time before her orbit slid past her, but the transmitters were already wired together. She tapped through the initialization codes, and the compressed nitrogen thrusters took it from there. The primary transmitter shot out through the ring, and the secondary took up a stationary position relative to the ring gate, except for a slow drift that would eventually snuggle it up against the physical surface of the ring itself. As repeaters went, it was about the simplest version there was. One step up from cans and string. But it didn't have to last long.
"How's it looking?"
"I'm watching," Alex said. "I've got sync from the local side. I'm waiting for a response from... Yeah, okay. We're looking good. Come on back."
"Copy that, I'm heading in," Naomi said. "So much for the easy part."
"Taking what I can get."
Naomi turned back toward the Rocinante and started her burn. The mech had enough power in the thrusters that she could have worked out there for a few hours without any risk, but she was just as happy not to. The cooling on the unit wasn't what it had been, or else she was less tolerant of being overheated. By the time she'd gotten back to the ship, cycled through the airlock, packed the mech safely away, and floated up to the flight deck, the transmitter had been working for a little under 3 hours. The first cycle was passive, looking for signals coming from any ships in the ring space and identifying as many as they could. It looked like there were about a dozen at the moment, but all of them were recognizable as transport union or smugglers. Nothing had the comm signal or drive signature of a storm-class destroyer, and nothing was the Whirlwind. No ships at all would have been better. But this was as good as Naomi could have reasonably hoped. The connection request signal was the first real risk she was taking. If there were Laconian sensors in the ring space, this was going to give away what gates had active cells of the underground behind them. If things went the way she hoped, that information wouldn't matter much. It was a calculated risk. For almost a minute, there was no reply. The farthest gate was only a little under 1 million clicks. The light delay should have been nearly trivial. Naomi had a sinking feeling. What if they were the only ones? What if the plan had already fallen apart? And then the connections started coming through. First just one, then a handful, then a small flood. 53 answers in all. 53 systems with their full supply of ready warships, out of retirement and at her command. Easily hundreds of ships.
"Not bad," Alex said from his couch.
"It's excellent, until you do the math," Naomi said. "Then it's 96% no reply." But she smiled when she said it. Her plan, long since sent out via bottle and echoed from system to system, was larger than Laconia. Larger than the 53 systems that had sent ships for the fight. Even as she'd been setting out her makeshift repeater, an alert was going off at the transfer station on Ningji Xin. A pirate was breaking into Laconian warehouses on the largest moon of the smallest gas giant in Sanctuary System. A massive data breach was being reported from the new shipyards in Yasamal System. Hopefully dozens of other small actions and issues, any place that a storm-class destroyer was in the system. After the death of the Tempest, Laconian forces and the factions that had thrown their lot in with them had to be nervous. That was her handle on them. It let her and her people distract them and draw them thin. They had to look strong now in every corner of the Empire, because they already looked weak. The next phase lost the anonymity and safety of the bottles. With a sensation like walking off her ship under an unfamiliar sky, Naomi chose the first of the connection requests and opened it. There was a hiss of static and the compression of sound that the multiple layers of encryption left behind.
"Nagata here," Naomi said.
"Zamarodi back to you,"
Emma's familiar voice replied a few seconds later.
"We've got the Kama, a half dozen rock harpers with rail guns mounted on them, and 10 anti-pirate gunships recently liberated from the Governing Council shipyard at Newbaker.
Ammunition?"
The lag was present, but not so bad that she had to trade recorded messages. The immediacy felt almost intimate.
"Oh, damn, knew I forgot something," Emma said, and Naomi heard the teasing in her voice.
"Of course we're loaded up. The Kama's got a full hold, too. Anyone needs resupply, we'll be there. Unless they kill us all, then not so much."
"Fair enough. Send me the specs and transponder codes. And what happened to Captain Burnham?"
"Early retirement," Emma said. "Cashed out and bought part of a medical clinic.
Probably smarter than all of us put together."
"I'm leaning toward coward."
Good to hear from you, Emma. Keep drives ready. I'll be sending a flight plan as soon as I have everyone.
Standing by until then, Admiral.
Naomi dropped the connection and took the next. 8 ships with old-style stealth composites and internal heat sinks. They'd have been the kings of space a couple generations back, but they weren't bad even now. The next group had a Doniger-class battleship they were pulling out of mothballs. 250,000 tons of pieces smuggled to an empty moon and welded back together like a child's model kit with 1-to-1 scale. If she was lucky, there would be 3 or 4 more like it. Building them had been a pet project of Saba's. Saba, who'd started it and hadn't lived to see it through. These people she talked with, whose lives she was now in a position to risk at best, spend outright at worst, were Saba's network. They were the sword he'd dropped on the battlefield that she had picked up. 53 systems, 418 ships with 5 Transport Union supply ships and 3 Doniger-class battleships among them, and the Storm, still compromised, but able to fly, still on her way. The best hammer that the underground could put together. And it still wasn't half the size of the force the Tempest had killed in Sol. Hopefully, if she'd done this right, it would be enough. If she'd been fooling herself, they'd all pay the price. But she was pretty sure she was right. Once she had all the specs, she started sorting through by drive model, ship mass, and total energetic profile. Alex showed up with a tube of spiced lentils and a bulb of cold tea. She didn't know she was hungry until she started eating it, and then she was ravenous. She put the monitor aside, rolling the tube and pressing to get out every bit of the spicy, rich mush. When it was gone, apart from a burning aftertaste and a pleasant pressure in her gut, she sighed.
"Just like old times," Alex said. "You never could remember to eat when you had a good problem to solve."
"My old problems were never like this. It was more how to make sure we get to the next port safely."
"That's not what we're doing?" Alex asked with a grin.
"Nothing about this has any relationship to safety. This is exactly what I never wanted to be doing. Fighting? Getting people killed? I never even carried a gun."
"I knew that,"
Alex said, and the grin had turned into something softer.
"There's still time. Call this off, head back to port, go back to getting our people elected into the Association of Worlds."
Naomi was silent. Her mind and her heart at odds the way they so often were. Alex misunderstood.
"I'm only half joking," he said. "There is time to pull back. We haven't committed these folks to anything. Not yet."
"No, we have to do this. If there was time, I don't know, maybe. Maybe I'd have kept looking until I found a better way. One that wasn't this." The comm controls alerted, a little orange strobe blinking with the incoming message. But it was only the Storm updating her ETA. Naomi tucked the empty food tube into her pocket. She'd throw it in the recycler when she was done here. The bulb of tea cooled her fingers and pulled a tiny sheen of condensation out of the air.
"You feel like you owe it to them?" Alex asked gently. "To Bobby and Saba, Amos?"
"No," Naomi said.
"And not to Jim, either. This isn't guilt. It's possibility. I don't want to fight. I don't want anyone to get hurt or die. Not our side, not them either. I want to reconcile. That's why Bobby always got so frustrated with me. She wanted to win."
"Looks like you do too now."
"The problem is, it's hard to reconcile when you've lost," Naomi said. "Someone takes all the power, and you try to bring them into the fold again? That's capitulation. I don't think violence solves anything. Not even this. Not even now. But maybe winning puts us in a place that we can be gracious.
Meet Duarte halfway?
Alex said. She could hear in his voice that he wasn't convinced. If she couldn't sway him, maybe there wasn't hope. But she tried. Make space for him. Maybe he'll take it, maybe he won't. Maybe his admirals will see something in it he doesn't. The point of this fight isn't to kill Laconia. It's to get enough power that we can close the distance they opened between them and everyone else. That may mean punishing some people. It may mean answering for old crimes. But it has to mean finding some way forward.
You sure that's not owing something to Holden?
Alex said.
Because that sounds an awful lot like something he'd say. And then everyone else would roll their eyes at.
I don't know, she said. Maybe. There needs to be a Saba now, so I'll be that if I have to. But there's going to need to be a James Holden later. And if he's not there to do it, we'll have to pick that up, too.
What about a Naomi Nagata?
She should probably finish solving her traffic control problems. I don't want anyone going Dutchman, or setting off another lost time incident. Not if we can avoid it, Naomi said. The comm alerted again, and this time she answered it. Rocinante here.
This is the destroyer gathering storm, a woman said. Her voice almost hummed with pride in the prospect of violence. Requesting permission to dock and transfer crew.
Alex raised a hand.
I'll take care of this one, Admiral.
Naomi transferred control to Alex.
Hey there, Jillian. This is Alex. You are good for docking, but make sure Casper knows to slide in from the side. It may not look like we've got the drive on, but we do. I don't want to prove it by cooking you.
Like your little drive could burn us, the woman said.
I'd feel bad about it, is all. I'll send the codes.
It'll be good to see you, old man, the storm said, and dropped the connection.
Jillian Houston, Alex said. She's a good kid. She'll make a fine captain.
I remember her father being an asshole.
She's also kind of an asshole.
It was 3 hours before the storm sidled up beside the Rocinante and extended its docking tube. It was strange seeing the Laconian ship with its alien technology, but also with the same design history as the Rocinante itself. Naomi sometimes forgot that Laconia was in so many ways the heir to Mars, until something like this reminded her. She was still putting the final touches on her transit orders when the new crew came over, and Alex had to prod her more than once to get her down to the airlock. He was right, of course, but the project was complicated and so close to finished, it was hard to step away from it. The Rocinante had run for years on a skeleton crew of 4, and then expanded up to 6. It was designed for 22. The people who came in, drifting in the microgravity, were a mixed bunch, belters and freeholders, and a gunner from Brazil Nova who'd joined up on Ganymede. She greeted each of them as they came aboard, hoping that she could commit each name to memory and put it to the correct face later. Belinda Ross, Acacia Kinderman, Ian Kafilwe, Jonah Lee. She felt a little odd about the deference and formality in how they saw her. She was Naomi Nagata to them, and that meant not only their captain, but also the admiral of the fleet and the leader of the underground. They also knew her as Captain Draper's old shipmate, and there was a respect there she couldn't quite convince herself she'd earned. The odder thing was seeing Alex with them. One boy, Casper his name was, hadn't even come over to join the Rosie, just to see Alex. The admiration in the boy's face was impossible to miss. Watching them all together was like seeing an extended family that had come together for a wedding or a funeral. Alex hauled them all on a tour, showing them the Rosie. He called it an orientation, but it was more like showing off a prized possession. Or no, not that. A part of his life
he'd only ever been able to tell stories about, and now could point to in the flesh. She made her exit as he was leading them down toward the machine shop, pulling herself up to the flight deck and her nearly complete work. The distraction of the new crew left her unmoored for a few minutes, finding her place and her train of thought. There was less to do than she thought. She put the final orders in. "There is time to pull back," Alex said, in the back of her mind as the real one, Dex Below, showed his friends and compatriots something about how the Rocinante's PDCs reloaded, or the way the power grid had been rerouted to support the keel-mounted railgun or something. Somewhere far below, an unfamiliar voice laughed. This was what he'd done. Where Naomi had locked herself away, Alex had gone with Bobby and made himself a new crew, a new family. It amazed her that he'd done it so naturally that he didn't even notice. The only reason he didn't have a place with them was that he chose not to. Even this brief contact told her that they would have welcomed him. He'd built another place for himself in the universe. She hoped she wasn't about to take it away from him. She encrypted the orders, opened the broadcast, and sent them out.